If I was comfortable writing on that board, I would probably write something like lively stones this morning. We find that in the book of 1 Peter as lively stones. And I think about right now about the building blocks, perhaps, that God uses to create something here in this world. A visible something that other people can see. A body of Christ, if you will. In fact, we're likened to a body, the body of Christ here on this earth. We know that Jesus has risen from the grave, and we recently in some of the messages have recognized and viewed in our thoughts that Jesus rose and he went up into the heavens, was received in the heavens. The disciples watched him do that. And he said, the angel said, this one that you saw will come back in this like manner. Today we expect that, don't we? And you can say, well, Brother Ivan, we've expected that for a very long time. And I say to you, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Be ready. Be willing to watch and pray. The Lord wants us to be part of those building blocks. And it's in the scripture, it talks about lively stones. Or stones that are alive. We think sometimes about the building blocks. I've went and seen some very amazing structures. I love sometimes driving the back roads of Oklahoma into the small towns and hamlets that were built a long time ago. And I've looked at some of the 2- and 3-story structures that was built in the late 1800s or the mid 1800s. And I look at that and see some of the big stones stacked up there, a keystone cut so well and fits there, and it's still there. And I ask myself, how did those fellas do that? But they stand as a monument of well-built structures. And these stones, none of them are alive, they're inanimate. But the structure we're thinking about today is more than that. It is something that is to glorify not the builder of a human structure, but Christ, who is a builder, God, who is a builder of the church. His body, the body of Christ, that we are all members in particular of, if so be, that we have entered in through the blood and would come unto Christ and been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are part, we are members in particular of that body. And that challenges me when I think, when the Lord, through Peter or one of the other, or Paul, looks at us and says, don't you know that you are part of the body of Christ? Members in particular. I say to myself then in the mirror, I say, are you really one of those stones? Are you really one of those? Do you glorify your builder? Are you willing to glorify yourself instead of the builder? What character? Are you a lively stone that is put together as God intended you to be in Him? Some of that is God's doing, and some of it is for us to choose today whom you will serve and how to serve Him. So I want to look over here in 1 Peter 2 and 5, where we will bring the initial part of our text. Maybe we'll start with the very first verse in the second chapter of 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. Sounds to me like if You want to be one of those building blocks, one of those that the Lord uses in His body. God would have us to lay aside all malice. I look at ourselves in the mirror then, and we say, in the mirror of God's Word now, and say, how am I measuring? Laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. We can look at this and say, well, it's natural for a newborn babe to be hungry and want to have something to eat that they might grow and develop. And it is also, on the other hand, it's quite natural for you and I, when we're born of Christ, to hunger and thirst after the sincere milk of the Word. So this is an acknowledgement of who we are in Christ. It's not just an acknowledgement of that. It's also a commandment. There is something that you and I can do. We can make a decision to get up in the morning and put our knees on the ground. And I'm not telling you when, but I think every day should be marked by us having our knees on the ground or having our heart bowed intentionally before the Lord and say, Lord, I need You this day. I need You every hour. I need Your cleansing power. I need You today. I need Your guidance in my life today. Don't put it off as something that in the future, but now, today, I need You. This is part, without guile, you see, with honest, hungry seeking of the Lord. Jesus is the one that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things that seem to be so important early in the morning, and I understand it, I get it. We can wake up with a sense of, oh, I overslept and I've got to go make the dollar today. You know, we have jobs. I get it. I understand that. But be careful as you go that you don't make your job your God. I know it's important. And the Lord knows you have need of these things. We know He knows that. He's not saying you shouldn't be diligent in the affairs of life. But the first diligence we should have as part of the building block, as an integral part of the body of Christ, the first diligence that we should have is a hunger for our Lord. I want to be like You, Lord, today. I don't want to be something that is out of joint. I don't want to be out of character. I don't want to be something unlike You today. Because if I'm part of the body of Christ, what am I portraying to the world? And it's real easy to portray something other than the body of Christ. Is it not? Isn't it so? Don't we all have this experience of life? That sometimes the frustrations, sometimes the pressures of life catches us in places that I feel like I didn't do well right there. I was a little bit like perhaps Moses who got aggravated at the complaining of the children of Israel, and they were thirsty. It's natural for them to be thirsty, but he got so angry with their complaining, and he said, shall I bring water out of this rock, ye rebels? And what was it that the people saw? Did they see godliness, or did they see Moses and his carnality? And so then I ask ourselves today, as the body of Christ, as part of members that are fitted in to a godly heritage, to Christ and portrayal of Christ, how should we portray Him? Should we portray Him as us? Or should we be hit on the cross? Should we crucify the old man? Should we mortify the deeds of the body and let Christ shine in us? Should we allow Him, or shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Oh, because we are purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Should there not be a willingness of our heart to say, Lord, have Thine own way. I am Thine, dear precious Savior, all Thine. Shouldn't that be who we are? Because we are lively stones. We're alive in Christ. Stone is something, too, that you can count on. But we are humans. We're alive. And God is interested in us intentionally and willingly and passionately identifying with
the life that he has now birthed within our very soul. And I say, I want to be like that life. I want to be like you, Lord. Wherefore, laying aside then all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes hunger and thirst after righteousness. I added that in there, but that's part of another verse. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Spend some time looking into what thus saith the word of God. These Bibles were given to us. Oh, what a blessing we have. But they're not given to us as dust collectors. They're given to us to use, to look into the very mirror of what God is saying to me. And we find in the scripture talking about, there's a verse, and I'm not quoting it well, I can't do it right now, but beholding the glory of the Lord as in a glass, we are changed into His image. And as we look into this, as we begin to behold His glory and all His majesty and His sovereignty and His love and His all that He is, it does something in my soul. It starts to fundamentally change because I'm beholding His glory. And a lot of times when we are beholding His glory, it speaks something to my very soul. Wasn't it Isaiah in the 6th chapter of Isaiah that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, did he not? And he saw the glory of the Lord and he was shaken. Things were shaken around him. And what was it he said when he stood before the glory of the Lord? He said, he felt very humble, didn't he, in His presence. And he said, my lips aren't clean. And I live amongst a group of people that they also are like this. And folks, I submit to you, when we get ourselves truly before the August Majesty on high, that there is something that He says to us. He will ask us to change and provide us help to do so, because He loves His children just as you and I love our children. And as we raise our children, we see them sometimes and we recognize, we know our children to the point that we know what to expect of them. And there's times that we teach and there's times that we correct. There's times we expose to them our will and what we want them to do. And there's sometimes when they don't do it, what do? We correct. And sometimes we teach. We say, son, I'm glad you tried to do that, but think about doing it this way. Have you ever considered? You see, the Lord does that to you and I, does He not? Because He loves. We're the sheep of His body, the members of Christ's body. We are. All these metaphors speak of what He are, His children, and God wants us knit and fitted together as it pleases Him, laying aside hypocrisy, envies, evil speakings. Newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Who's the living stone? Us, not just us. But we're coming to who? As unto a living stone. As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So who's this? Who's the chief cornerstone? Is it not Christ? Isn't that the one who was disallowed indeed of men? He was rejected. You can't say He's rejected of all the Jews, but of the hierarchy of the greatest majority of the Jewish nation at one point. It seemed like there was a great acceptance at one point. There was a crowd. And of that crowd, it wasn't just all Jews that were there. There was a Syrophoenician woman. Who was she? There were others too that came and listened. Greeks, different other individuals that came and they heard the wonderful works of God and it excited their soul and there was something there. But then it seemed like the fickle nature of human excitement drained off so quickly when he was arrested. Wasn't too many days before this, they were willing to, if you'll just step on in here to the throne room, we'll help put the crown on your head. But when he went to the cross, nobody said, let me be there too. They were scared. We're human, folks. But the kingdom that he came to set up is different than what humans had in their mind. And it was something that went not to a carnal overshadowing kingdom, but it was a kingdom that was within us, a kingdom that dealt with a root problem of sin in our hearts and lives. This is where he wants to reign as kings. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? This is where God wants. Don't you know also that the kingdom of God is where? Within you. This is where God wants to reign, in our hearts and in our lives. Laying aside now all malice and guile, hypocrisies, evils, envies, evil speakings, like newborn babies. Hunger and thirst, desire, the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. This is what the foundational stone that we build on. The very foundational, this is it. Jesus Christ the righteous. This is the stone. This is the one that is balanced. This is the one that is true. This is the one that has a 90 degree absolute squareness. This is the one that is plumb. This is the one you can count on. You can build a structure high to the heavens on this one, because this one will never move and it is truly upright in every way. God has provided you and I a stone that we don't need to stumble at. We don't need to say, well, I think I'll build on him, but I must also carry over the old Jewish law. Jewish law was good in that, and it had its place. But Paul said it's no longer the circumcision of the flesh, but the one of the heart. There's something greater. There's something deeper. There's something more personal. So than that, there's something that we find in Christ. There's more. This is the stone chosen of God and precious. Ye also now, you and I, you in Christ this morning, I certainly hope you can say yes. From the depths of your heart, you can say, hope today, you can say, he is my Lord and Savior. Yes. I want to tell you, if that is true within your heart, you are part of the body of Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It's also challenging to me. You know, sometimes there are things can happen in the human body. You ever heard of viruses? You ever heard of cancers? You heard of bacteria? All these things can come in and affect a human body and mar the completeness and the effectiveness of the human body. Anytime you've had flu, had a good case of the flu, you're not going to feel very strong, are you? How about COVID? That's another virus. And some people, I don't know what's going around right now. Leaves a cough. Had a cough for quite a while. Don't seem to be getting any better. But these things affect the human body and mar the productivity. In Christ, as being members of that body, God help us that we don't mar the productivity of the body of Christ. You know what I'm saying? Lord, help us. And I think to keep away from that marring of the image of Christ, there is this other process that he mentioned earlier in here, that we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow, that we may be established in His righteous ways, that the soul inside us, that our thoughts and our intents of our heart, that He already knows, but they may come in line with the God of heaven. Ye also know as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy and holy priesthood. You, who? We're going to put this over on someone else, but no, we begin to build on Christ. That structure that is built on this stone, this chosen stone of God. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the God by Jesus Christ. This is something that Brother Peter speaks to us about, that we should reckon ourselves, to look at our own selves and say, this is what the Lord sees in me. I am part of that body of Christ. Therefore, Lord, help me not to be outside of the body, but to be connected, to draw my sustenance, as Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And He said, you'll die if you're not connected to. I'm shortening that. I'm saying it in our human ways. But Jesus presented Himself as the vine that we should be plugged into. Not just plugged, but attached as a branch would be attached to a vine. And that vine will die, wither, if we do not maintain, if we are not connected to that vine. It's just natural for that to be so. So God would have us today to every day draw our sustenance, our sustaining milk of the Word from Him. Wherefore, also it is contained. I want to stop here, go back again. Holy priesthood. What does that mean now? Are you a holy priest? In Christ, you are. You're not just a lively stone, but you're a holy priesthood in this body of Christ. Jesus is our high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, after faith. Melchizedek came before the law of Moses, before the Levitical priesthood. Before all that, Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. That's what it says over there in Genesis. Melchizedek was that. He had gotten a hold of God somehow, and he was a priest of the Most High God. Surely today in Christ, we can also be a priest of the Most High God. We don't have to be submissive to an old master that we have been purchased from, that we've been bought out of his control, brought over into the kingdom of his dear son. We don't have to say now, I am now still attached to my old master, because God has bought us from, has severed that connection from me and the old master. Today now, I am a priest. And I don't have to bow my head to the old master, because in Christ I am free. And thank God today we can lift up our heads as dear children and say, thank you, dear Jesus, that today you've made me free. Don't know about tomorrow, but I'm going to wake up tomorrow and ask you for grace for that day. And I believe that tomorrow too, you have grace. You have sufficient grace. That whatever we face, that you can bring me through, and I can be as you would have me to be in this life. Holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable
to God by Jesus Christ, whereby also it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect." This was God's purpose. This is what He did. He chose His Son. He brought this about. This is what God's, again, to the Jewish mind here. Perhaps Peter, the Jewish mind, has said, "But we were elected under Abraham." Peter is saying, "But through Abraham and the Mosaic law that came thereafter, those were types and shadows that pointed toward this high priest, toward this one." And to the Jewish mind, they may still be stuck back there, but no, now this is in Christ. And in Christ, this is the door has been opened to whosoever will let him come. Thank the Lord for that. We have a gospel today to share with the world. As lively stones. "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." This was God's own Lamb. This is what He was chosen. Before the foundation of the world, He was chosen to be the Lamb of God. What is this Lamb of God? What do we see Him as? We use all these terms to describe Him. We call Him the Son of God, do we not? We also call Him the Word of God, because He's all that. God took His very Word, wrapped it in human flesh, and it lived and walked among mankind and demonstrated all the holiness of Christ right here. That you and I might have hope. Sin had no dominion over Him. He was truly a holy high priest of God. In every respect. God help us to identify with His leadership and not the leadership that would say that I must be still a slave to the old master. God help us to recognize that. By faith and hope, lay hold on what is before us. We should not identify with the lowest common denominator of this nation. We should not try to say, "Well, I'm no better than the world," because I want to tell you, by grace ye are saved, and that not of yourself. That's all true. But God's salvation is powerful. It's real. It's effective. And you today are part of that building block that builds up the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not defiled. And God help us to be that in Christ. We seek Him in His ways. He's precious. No. Skipped verses. Priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, which by Jesus Christ. "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." Oh, I think that says so much to my mind. You don't have to hang your head when you say you believe in Jesus Christ. To the Jewish nation, when you say to them, this was back during the Jewish, there was a transitional period. It was a difficult transition for many of the Judaism, those Judaizers, maybe I should say, those who still believed in the old law system. It was difficult for them to put their trust in Jesus Christ. It was a different system. It was something hard for them to grasp. But Peter is telling them that you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you don't need to be ashamed. This is real. This is real. It does something for our lives. But 2,000 some odd years after, perhaps this was written, I don't know, perhaps maybe after 2,000 or so, it says to us today, if you believe on Him, you should not be confounded. Don't need to be. You can be
steady and steadfast. He is still God today. Sister Carla, He's still God when you're under the fear of death. He's still God. And He's still God if He takes you into the veil of death. He's still God. And He still owns a place for us to dwell with Him in eternity. He still is that for you and I. Now, chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Don't need to be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto those who don't, them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's still God. He's still there. Doesn't only affects you if you don't believe. He's still going to be there. God's still faithful. He's still God. He's still the chief cornerstone. He's the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. I would stop just a little bit here and say, whereunto they also they were appointed. It was appointed that there would be. It was so that there would be some that would reject Jesus Christ. It was just so. It would happen as God was bringing about the crucifixion of the Lamb of God. But those people who went through that appointment and laid their hands on Jesus Christ and helped to crucify Him and put him on the cross, I want to tell you, when they did that, there was a blood that flowed from that cross. And that blood said, Father, forgive them. Is Jesus' words not true? I want to tell you today, all of those that were appointed to act in such a way that put Him on the cross, they also could have been saved, and maybe they were. Some of them likely were. I believe there was a man that stood at the foot of the cross, and when he saw all this happen, and he saw the grace that was there on the cross, heard the gracious words that came from Jesus, and saw the earth, felt the earth shake, and saw the darkness come over, and the man smote his breast, and he said, surely this was the Son of God. I don't think he walked away from that the same. I don't know much about the man's life and what happened after that. I want to tell you, it changes people when we're in the presence of the Lord. Chosen, see, unto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. This is what God intended through Jesus Christ. This was His choosing. This was what He, this was upon this rock I'll build my church. I'm going to tell you, that rock wasn't Peter. It was the revelation, the personal contact with God that came through, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was what was built on. And I want to tell you today, that today the choosing of the Lord is that you and I can come in through Christ. That you and I can come in through Christ and we can build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can build a structure that glorifies God through Him and in Him. That we can, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and a holy nation. This is what the Lord calls us to, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean a strange people. That means a set apart people, a purposeful people, a people who they're not like the rest of the world. They are those who identify with their Father which is in heaven. And they're not going to be like the rest of the world because their allegiance and their love is much higher. Well, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were in time past were not a people. Who are these now? Who is it now that God has elected, has chosen? Your chosen generation. Who is this? Is it another generation of Jews? Some of them were. Not all. You were, what does it say here? In time past, were not a people, but are now the people of God. I believe He's referring to the whole of this world. There were, of course, the Jews felt like I had a special place because I am Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would believe me. You see, there is a seed that God has brought that He plants, and this is Christ. And when the Word of God through Jesus Christ, He is the embodiment of the Word of God. When that Word has come and implanted in our hearts, it is active. That seed is perfect. That seed is effective in our lives. And in this seed that He has brought to you and I, there is a transformation that we find in that. We are no longer an abandoned, we're no longer off, isolated. What was it? Isolated from the commonwealth of Israel. But we're brought into it. The commonwealth of Jesus Christ. Something that affects the inside of a man's heart. I believe that Christ can take a man who's been mean to his children, can save him and make him kind and gentle. I believe that God can take a man who is very self-centered and feels like he must come first in every home, and if everybody doesn't kowtow to his will in the home, I believe the Lord can take that man and make it so that he loves his family so much that he would lay down his life for them. This is what God does. Because isn't that what Jesus did? He laid down his life. Pilate said, don't you know that? No. And Jesus said it kindly. But you don't have any authority. I laid down my life. I've given it freely. You couldn't take my life unless I wouldn't have given it. And today the Lord asks us to be like Him. You're chosen. The Lord has extended His mercy and His grace to a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, set aside people. We no longer identify with our old master or with the things of this world. We identify with a heavenly heritage. He is my Father. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In times past you weren't a people. But now, you have obtained mercy. I'm sorry, I better read that. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. War against our soul. Don't we feel that abrasion of the world? Don't we yet today? As we go into life, as we live today, maybe you'll make it through today because this is Sunday and we get together and we enjoy each other and we feel strengthened. But tomorrow morning the clock's gonna go off and many of you's gonna have to go to your job. You have to live tomorrow. And it's not here in the chapel. You'll be living that tomorrow. You're going to live it somewhere else. You're going to live it among other people that many of them won't see things like you see it. And the devil will have all kinds of temptation. What are you doing then? look and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And all these other things of this world will begin to fade in their importance. The job, you'll have to still go to your job. But the temptations of the world that war against my soul will begin to fade because I'm looking in the right place. Why is it Sunday school? We had a verse, didn't we? At least in the class that some of us were in. Talked about thinking on good things, didn't it? Whatsoever things are good, think on these things. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this. Could we do that? Can we do that? Is it an empty commandment? Is it just a suggestion? Is it just something that maybe might be good for? No, but He says set your affections. Is that something we can do? Is that my job? Yes, it's my job. And that's something that God has delivered into your authority. The ability to set my affections, to direct my thinking. So I encourage us today. I'm sorry, I had two more places that we were going to go over in 1 Corinthians. Two different chapters with a lot of verses. We're not going to get to them. But it has to do with you and I being part of that body. And I want to encourage us today to recognize the place that God has put us in. It's a holy place. It's a place that the Lord would have us knit to Him in love. And with it, not only to Him in love, but with each other in love. That we're fit together in a way that God would have us to be effective. Not diseased body. That we might support one another in the love of Christ. That we might encourage one another to climb up to the heights of Zion and not be satisfied with with milling around in the lower lands. Let's climb up to the heights of Zion where the air is pure ethereal. We have that song, don't we? Where the air is pure ethereal, laden with the breath of flowers. There's a place, I believe, in Christ. You're chosen for that place, dear ones. You and I are part, are intended. And if you're come through the blood and you're in Christ today, you're part of His body. And I don't want to be trite by saying this, but I think it's proper for us to, if we're part of the body of Christ, act like it. Is that okay? Oh, the Lord, dear shepherd, this morning calls us to a place by Himself, by His side. A place of identity with Him. You're the body of Christ. You are a lively stone today. Intended to be so. Fit together. Who does the fitting? It's Christ Himself. He'll take all your rough edges and He'll begin to smooth it up till we fit together so well. You remember the what was it spoken of at the Solomon's temple? You know how it was put together? Not the ringing of a hammer. Wasn't heard there at the site. But when they brought them together, after the master craftsman out there cut these things so true and so smooth, they came together and they fit so close that I've heard you couldn't put a paper in between those. And that's what the Lord would have us today, to be so fitly joined together that the devil can't slide his doubts in between us. The devil can't slide his hate or his malice or his anger. But we are wrung together. We are melted together as the body of Christ. That when the Lord may look on any one of us, when the world may look on any one of us, they see Christ. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.